I was there for 8 years in the summers. I'd pack up the car and go up there, and I had a little tiny, tiny studio and a tiny, tiny house. And I did my best work. I was focused. I was able to do my work without interruption. I could eat. If I didn't want to eat at night, I would stay in the studio. I lost it. I can't do.
Could you tell me more about Canada?
I remember my story now. Okay. It was a really small island. The population there had historically survived on the fish industry, herring in particular, which crashed. There were a lot of people there that weren't doing well, but the buildings were still there. There was an atmosphere of the past that was very, very present in the old buildings where they did the smoking for the fish and things like that. I had a show up there, and they have a little art museum, and they get good work. A lot, there are artists on the island, I had one of my collage pieces up that had imagery of seaweed and rocks and sand and just plain colors, moving water type imagery. And I think there were about 25 pieces in the show. And during the opening, there was a hand, like maybe two or three outdoor gruff men in their fishing boots in front of one of my paintings, leaning forward, looking at it, like really reading it. And, you know, they didn't pass it by, they were looking at it. And these are things that they see every day. They see seaweed washed up. They see all these things every day. But because it was on a wall and a celebratory, it drew them in. And it felt really good. Really good for me. I felt as though I had brought my love for their world and made it real for them to recognize. And I don't imagine that they think about art very much, and I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. It's just that it's a different language. They have a different language than I do. So it was a way of, I didn't do it on purpose, but it was very satisfying for me to see that.
Speaking of fish, did you ever use like fish imagery in your collage or?
Well, I did a piece, a large piece, using gels, clear gels, different colors, and I handled it the same way I was handling my collage, only on a large scale. And they were implied. They weren't really paint. Oh, here's a fish. Mm-hmm. But they were in there, sort of. If you looked long enough, you might be able to find it. I should have mentioned that I also do a lot of printmaking. I developed it when I was out there on the island. There are plants that are just everywhere, and I would bring them into the studio, roll up ink, press them into the ink, pull them off the ink, put them on a piece of glass, and make a print. And I was designing. I was doing that design thing I was talking about. I was combining different parts of plants and doing designs, and they were prints, monoprints.
Have you ever done, like you've probably have done different types of prints, but are there any other types of prints that you do, or is it just monoprints?
Well, I've had to cut back on doing woodcut or lino cut because of my hands. But I love that. Yeah. I have a press, and I have ways to. I can do small things, but on a larger scale, I have a hard time because of my hands.
So, you previously had a lot of.
Yes, I consider myself printmaker, painter, mixed media person. Yeah, photographer. Yeah.
What's your favorite medium to work with, or do you like
I just like it all. Yeah. I woodwork in oils, but I have so many, you know, pastels. I did pastels for years. I've got thousands of them. You know, it costs a lot of money to have too many interests, so I drew the line at oils. Yeah.
What kind of mediums are you working with now?
Well, I'm working on doing a book illustration, and I'm just using Sumi ink and Chinese brushes and rice paper.
You mentioned the Golden Artist Colors. How did you become involved with
them? I used to go down, if you showed up and checked off the list of what you wanted, you got 40% off.
Oh.
And they're really, you know, they're a wonderful company. I can't say enough about them. I'd go down there, this was later, you know, like far into my career. I was known as an artist. Mm-hmm. Locally, anyway, and they knew me. Eventually, I met them somewhere at openings or something, but somehow we knew each other, the Goldens. Mm-hmm. And I would, every once in a while, I'd be developing something while I was experimenting with their different products, and I'd come up with something that I thought was kind of cool and didn't know whether they knew about it, and I'd go down there with samples, and Mark Golden would be ready, you know, for me, and we'd sit around the table with product development and marketing, and they'd look things over, so I just got more and more involved. They developed too. They went from just paint. They've got all kinds of things now, and they built their business on listening to artists asking questions. How do you do this? Could you make it more slippery? Could you make it dry out and crack? Can you make it so matte that you don't see the brushwork? So they just keep developing more and more properties into their products.
So you knew the Goldens?
Well, I met them through my reaching out, and I don't have that kind of confidence, but I did. I thought I was doing things that they might not have even seen, and they have a reputation for wanting to hear from artists about what they're doing with their products, and that's what their whole company was built on.
Were you ever involved in like product testing or
no? Okay. No. Only in my own studio,
oh.
But not formally. You know, not between them and myself.
Sorry, I'm just reading my questions.
That's fine.
How do you experiment with different mediums, or like, how do you decide what to experiment with?
Well, sometimes it's because I wind up trying to work through a problem. Something's not going the way I want it to. So, it's almost like cooking. If you put in the wrong spices, it doesn't taste good. And because of the nature of all their products, there are combinations that you can do that meet the needs that I have. So I experiment with making my own grounds, working on different surfaces like masonite or paper or clear plastic, you know, sheets of translucent, transparent gels, and then sticking them to a window and embedding the plastic, the clear plastic, with insect wings or maple seeds or something like that. There's so many different things that you can try. Yeah.
What kind of problems have you encountered with mixing in like natural like plants and insects with different mediums? Like, has there ever been like like a bad reaction or like...
Well, the struggle for... Maybe someone else wouldn't mind it, but the struggle for me was when I started... It kind of came as an offshoot of when I told you I was doing the printmaking mm-hmm. of plant parts.
Mm-hmm.
Then I thought, well, why not? Why not include the plant part, or to photograph it and include the plant part, like ginkgo leaves?
Yeah.
They're beautiful. They print beautifully. They have little ridges, and you can press them into the ink, and they print beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
But then you think, well, it would be kind of cool to just put the ginkgo leaf in mm-hmm. something or paint over paint. You know, maybe do a glaze over it, or do a drawing next to it, or a little piece of a print of it, or, you know, some combination of ginkgo leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out that if you want to embed it in something, it changes color. Certain things fade,
mm-hmm.
and time is a kind of a thing that you can address. What happens to it after it's been on the wall for 10 years? Before you even use it. I have boxes and boxes of beautiful maple leaves that I collected in Seattle. I've got hydrangea, they're all different colors. They fade and they change color in time all differently. And you want to preserve that, or maybe just let it keep going. And just let, like, I'm sure there are ways to preserve a rose or rose petals. You can spray them with certain things. You can put them in silica crystals, but then what happens when you put a fluid over it and expose it to light?
Yep.
But there, I did ask Golden, and they have a couple of people on duty, more than a couple, I suppose. They're on the phone to just answer questions, technical mm-hmm. questions, and I asked them directly, how can I use dried materials and not have them bleed out? And then I think maybe a year later, I'm not sure on that, but they have newsletters that go out, and they're all online now, where they'll address that question, or how do I minimize fading? But they don't have to worry about that because all of their materials are light fast. They're all archival, so they won't fade. Nothing will happen to them. But if you put something organic in there, something will happen. And they have directions for what materials you can use to mitigate that.
Mm-hmm.
And being someone that experiments all the time, it's a perfect company. Their products are so great because you can just play around and get all kinds of results. Yeah.
Have you considered like teaching up there or no?
Oh, I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, let's just put it this way. I could apply. They have residencies too. Very successful. But I'm getting up there.
Yeah.
And I have... My resume is a short stack.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people that they work with have. They have a big, big depth of experience, and they've got gallery shows, you know, and in big cities, and they're big. They're, you know, I'm just a small fry from Central New York, so they assured me that they don't judge you on what your resume is. It's on your work and your, you know, how much you want to work. I don't think that physically I can take that kind of concentration now. To be on my feet all day to benefit, you know, if it's a 3-week program or a 4-week program, I can't be on my feet all day. So I'm limited by that. I'm getting older. So.
So you're from Central New York. This is going back to Canada. When did you move to Canada?
Well, I didn't move. I used to paint in Maine in Monhegan Island. As much as I could afford,
okay.
And time that I could take away from the family. You know, I had to wait for the kids to grow up so they could take care of themselves while I was gone for a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, and it was very expensive, so I was fortunate to have friends, and we rented one house And we did it every year for 2 weeks, and we had a great place to work, and it was $350 a week for 2 weeks, with the combined everybody pitching in. And yeah, so then I had friends that had a place on Grambling Inn, which is further north and in the Bay of Fundy, and I had an interest in wanting to go there. I thought, well, it's pretty probably sounds pretty neat. On Monhegan, there's no cars. Everything is walking, which I loved. It was great. But I had an interest in Grambling Inn, and I had the opportunity to go up there with a friend, and she was really after me to try to buy something. That's ridiculous. I can't buy a house. But this, it was very, very small. It was so small. It was, well, if you think of a New York apartment kind of kitchen, the kitchen was the laundry, was the living room, was the office. It was really small, but that footprint was perfect for doing my work. I had some mother lawn, it was a tiny little lawn, and I had a studio that was literally a garden shed. Tiny, tiny garden shed. And I cranked out a lot of work when I was there because of the focus that I could have. So, and I was also younger. I gave it up after 8 years. It just got to be too hard. And the house we needed to put money into the house. We couldn't afford it. So.
How would you say the art community in that area is different from around here?
Well, I would. There are local people that are artists, full-time mm-hmm. artists. Anybody else would have been visitors, but the Canadians were much more welcoming than they were in Maine. I went to Maine for many years and did business with people that, because I was from away, there was none. Like, don't get the idea that you think that you belong here. They made it very obvious. But up in Canada, I was looking for a bicycle at they have a junkyard, and I got to know the people in the hardware store and the junkyard and people I bought fish from and things like that. They were very open. And I asked one of the men that worked in that junk place, I said, could you keep an eye out for a bike for me for next season? He said, sure. He said, if I find one, I'll just keep it with me all winter, and then I'll give it to you when you show up again. And then I think that was the second year I was there. I showed up at the hardware store, and right immediately, the clerk said, welcome home. You know, big difference. Very big difference.
Why do you think there was such a big difference?
Maybe it's cultural. I don't know. They didn't resent. They there were definitely tourists there, but I don't think they were as overwhelmed by the tourists as they are on Monhegan. Yeah. So.
Wow.
This is all about me, isn't it? We're getting farther and farther away from sculpture space.
I'm trying to think of more questions.
I'm more and more convinced that my education at Munson Williams was gave me the groundwork to be an artist for the rest of my life. And being involved in sculpture space was part of that. My mom used to take me to the Metropolitan. Mm-hmm. She took me to the Frick. Mm-hmm. She took me out in the woods and showed me wildflowers and, you know, things like that. So it all combined to make me be an artist, I think. Yeah.
Are you, I know you're still kind of connected with sculpture space. How often do you go and visit there?
Not as much as I should.
Okay.
They have events. Sometimes I go, sometimes I don't. But it's, you know how life is. When you get older, you'll figure it out. Your calendar is going to be full all the time. And, you know, it's like, I'm not that far away, but it's another thing to do. Another, you try to go to the openings. But they're having more activities. They have open studio, like Golden does. There are things on the calendar all week long that involve the arts. And they've got good movies at Munson Williams. They've got shows at Munson Williams. You could really make yourself just... You wouldn't have any energy left if you went to all of those. It's not me making excuses, but it is. It does indicate that I have the interest, but I don't have the energy and the time.
Have there been any recent events or events in the past that have stuck out to you?
Well, what really stuck out was the vandalism that happened.
Oh.
Did you know about that?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A couple of 11-year-old kids, they caught them. They came in and they destroyed everything. The computers, everything. They broke the glass. They spray-painted the walls. They destroyed equipment. They destroyed people's work. Yeah.
What?
Just, I...
What happened after that?
My understanding is that they were caught because they stepped in the spray paint, and then they went to another site to vandalize, and they were caught. It's probably more complicated than that, but seeing... This was not a planned event.
Yeah.
But the support that got them back on their feet was incredible.
Wow.
That's much more memorable than any opening or any meeting that I can remember.
How did that support come through? Did people donate or did they like help?
Everything.
Oh.
Everything. Time, cleanup effort. It was a disaster. And it happened overnight. And they had to regroup, they had to get funding.
Was there any changes to security or security?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they have you have to call and there's a keypad or something. I'm pretty sure. You used to be able to just walk in and no.
When did that happen? Like,
I think you'd have to ask someone from Sculpture Space. Okay. I don't really. Sometimes I think something happened 3 years ago, or seven, okay. Or the other way around.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there's. You might want to, if you want to, maybe do an interview with someone. Tom might be good about that. He might know. Have you already interviewed?
Oh no.
No. Do you intend to?
No, just you.
Oh, well, he's the director. But 50 years, and then you know you get to where Tom took over after Sylvia left.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, after Gina, and then there was someone else, Sydney Waller from Clinton,
mm-hmm.
and then two other people. They changed a number of office managers, but I think Tom's doing the whole show himself with the board or volunteers. Yeah, that's impressive. I couldn't begin to do all that. Yeah, there's a lot: correspondence, grant writing. There's a lot to do.
Were you close with anyone at Sculpture Space, or kept the relations up?
We're acquaintances. We know each other through the arts. Mm-hmm. We're friendly. We see, you know, I do go to enough openings that I see people from those days and talk to them, but I don't go out to dinner with them. There's a difference, you know? Okay. Yeah, I'm not in the inner circle. I'm kind of I'm out in the outer reaches.
Is there anything else you would like to talk
about? No, I think that covers it pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah.
I forgot how to sign off. This is Caitlin Gaston at the end of the interview with Rosette Sherman at the Pratt Munson Library on November 16th. Signing off.